Ephesians chapter 5, look if you would, starting at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, when you're reading through the book of Ephesians, beginning at Ephesians chapter 4 and continuing through Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is challenging the church concerning how we are to walk before the Lord, how we are to act, how we are to be, how we are to be seen by the world. First, in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, we're commanded to walk in humility. We'll turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 and notice what he says. He says, Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." And so that's certainly one way that as Christians we're to walk. And then if you drop down to verse 17, he tells us that we are to walk in separation. In other words, we are to not be a part of the world. We're supposed to be different than the rest of the world. It says in verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." So we're not supposed to, Christians shouldn't be acting like a bunch of lost people. Amen? And that's what he's saying there. All right, and then in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, we are commanded to walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of the Lord as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given us himself, or given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." And then if you'll drop down to verse 8, it says that we are to walk in the light. It says, "For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." And so we're just told all the way through here how we are to walk, how we are to act. You know, and no Christian today has any excuse if he's out there living like the world saying, I didn't know how I was supposed to be. I didn't know how I was supposed to walk. I didn't know how I was supposed to act. Because the Bible tells us how we're supposed to do that. Right there, I mean, we only covered, two chapters, and really one chapter, and it tells us how we're to walk. And as Christians, we are to walk, like it tells us, we're walk separated walk. We're to walk, supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to walk in light. We're supposed to walk in humility. That's how we are to be. Now, when we come to our text here, starting in verse 15, we're challenged to have we're to walk in wisdom. We're to have a wise walk as Christians. Now, in Scripture, you say, well, what does wisdom mean? Well, wisdom, when you compare the verses that talk about wisdom and how it's used, really wisdom is understanding what the will of God is as it is revealed in His Word. But another definition could certainly be wisdom is how you use the knowledge that you have. Now, we've been given knowledge. We have the knowledge of the Word of God. Amen? How are we to use that? That's where wisdom comes in. And so in this passage here, in our opening passage, Paul shows us what the walk of wisdom is supposed to look like. And he says, first of all, that it's supposed to be a diligent walk. Notice in verse 15 it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Now, the word circumspectly means heedful of circumstances or potential consequences, prudent. It's where we get the word circumference from. And so if you imagine if you're walking circumspectly, you're not just walking looking straight forward. You're kind of walking noticing what's going on around you. You know, that's what you're doing. And in other words, we're to walk looking around, noticing all things. You know, the devil's not just going to attack you in one place. The devil is going to hit you from behind. He's going to hit you in places you didn't realize that he would hit you. The devil sometimes will attack you where you think you're strong. Sometimes he'll attack you where you know you're weak. But the devil is not going to necessarily hit you. No, you don't always see the devil coming. Amen? The Bible says he's the most subtle of all creatures. And so the devil knows what he's doing. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to trip us up. And so we need to be aware of what's going on around us. We just can't be just looking forward. We need to know what's going on around us. That's the reason Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walk about seeking whom he may devour." He's doing this all the time. He doesn't take a break. And as believers, we must give due diligence to every step we take in this world. We need to be careful. We need to be careful where we go. Like we talked about this past Sunday, we need to make sure we don't put ourselves in a position to where we could be tempted. And so we need to walk circumspectly. We need to be diligent in our walk. And to do anything less than that is to probably lead us into the trap of the enemy. James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Satan does all that he can to lure us away from the place of safety that we have with the Lord and to get us out of fellowship with the Lord and lure us into sin. And so we're counseled to walk circumspectly as we walk through this world, and we are to recognize the evil around us and the temptations around us. The Bible also says here in our text that we are counseled to walk not as fools, but as wise. In other words, the will of God is for us not to walk around like the world walks. They stumble around in darkness. They can't see anything spiritually. We're different, folks. We have the advantage. We can see things that the lost world can't see. One of the conversations that my oldest son had with me recently was, he was. I don't know if he'd been watching the news or not, and I think me and him are probably pretty close to being the same, the way we think, father and son, go figure. But he said, "Dad, I just don't understand how come other people my age can't see the way things really are." "I just don't understand how they could be so blind to certain things." And I told him, I was like, one of the reasons why is I truly believe this, folks. I believe that if you read your Bible, and you're faithful to the Lord, and you seek to learn, and you seek to be wise, I think the Lord shows you things and reveals things to you that the lost world just plain can't see. And I'm not talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about just the way things are. Like right now, when we look out, when we watch the news, and we talk to people, we say, "Boy, the world is getting more wicked and more wicked as time goes on." And we're able to see that. But there are so many people today, even Christians today, that say, "Well, I don't know if they're really getting more wicked or not." Well, sure they are. Amen? Why? Well, because we're able to see those things. And so we've been given the advantage. We have the Word of God, and we have the opportunity to see things in this world that a lot of people can't see. And it's not because of us, it's because of the wisdom and the knowledge that the Lord has given us. And that comes from the Bible. And so we're not blind. We've been redeemed. We've been made alive. We've been given the Spirit of God, and we've been given the light of God's Word. And we're not to stumble around like blind men. We have the advantage. We have wisdom. And we've been equipped to walk wisely. Now, I say we've been equipped to walk wisely, but that doesn't mean we always walk wisely. Amen? We've been equipped to walk wisely, and that's the way all of us should walk. What a blessing it is to know that we don't have to fall into the trap of the devil. We don't have to. We don't have to be ensnared in his traps. We don't have to yield to his devices. And we don't have to be overcome by his schemes. We don't have to be. We've been given the wisdom to be able to avoid those things. All of us have. Now, this past Sunday, we talked about how we've been given a way out of temptation. But do you realize what you've been given when God gave you his word? You've not been, does the word say that you've been given a way out, but you've been given wisdom so that you can avoid the schemes of the devil. You've been given those. In other words, God has given us warning signs. Don't go here. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Over and over and over. Now, the problem is a lot of Christians, when they read these things like don't do this and don't do that in the Bible, or they start reading things like come out from among them and be ye separate, then they look at that as being, well, somebody's always got to tell me what to do. It ain't no fair. I don't like people telling me what to do. And they don't like that. But listen, It's not there so God can say, listen, I don't want you to have a part of them because I'm being just a mean God. Listen, the reason he wants us to be separate from the world is because he's warning us. Because if you're not separate from the world, you are putting yourself in danger to fall into the devil's trap. Amen? And so what he's saying is, listen, that's a warning sign. You need to get away from them. You need to walk with humility. You need to walk in love. You need to walk in separation. This is the way you're supposed to live, because if you do that, you stand the best chance of avoiding the snares of the devil. And so that's what a lot of Christians don't understand. Sometimes we get so independent that we can't stand for even God to tell us what to do. I mean, honestly, folks, I have listened to church people say, you know, if you start preaching about this sin or that sin, you're judging, and I don't want to hear people judging, and I don't think we should be judging, and when you start preaching that we should be separate and all that stuff, that's legalistic. Hey, listen, I've been in legalistic churches, and a legalistic church is not one that's going to tell you to be separate from the world. That's not a legalistic church. That's a Bible preaching church. Okay? Now, if you've been a legalistic church, you know what I'm talking about. There is a difference. If you preach exactly what that Bible tells us to do, that's not being legalistic at all. That's being faithful. That's faithful preaching. But when we do hear something like that, when it tells us there's a warning, when it tells us to be separate from the world, when it tells us that evil communication, we're warned about evil communication, we are to take those things as warnings, as a good thing. We should know where we should say, boy, I'm sure glad he told me that, now I know what to avoid, rather than getting mad because the Bible tells us to do something that we don't want to do. And so it's kind of like, I remember when I was young, which was a long time ago, but I remember when I was young, I wanted to do something. There was like something going on, and a young lady wanted me to go with her to this event. And I remember I came home and I asked my dad. I said, Dad, this thing's going on in town, and I have somebody who wants to take me. Can I go? And I remember him saying, well, who is it that wants to take you, son? And when I mentioned this young lady's name, he goes, oh, this lady, and then he said, ain't her dad the guy that works downtown at that shop? I said, yes. He goes, no, you can't go with her. And I was like, what? He goes, no, you can't go with her. I was like, why? You know, typical teenager. Anything that you say, of course, you know, they're wrong. And so I said, why? And she goes, I know her, and I know her family, and you're just not going to go. And I tell you what, I got angry. I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, I can't do anything around this house. But now he stops me from doing everything, you know. But I tell you what, I look back now, and I understood why he said no, and I'm glad he said no. Amen? Why? Because he saw a danger there. And he said, I don't want you to get caught up in that danger. I looked at it as a bad thing at the time, but it was a good thing. You know what? And to tell you the truth, if my kids come up and ask me about the same type of person today, I'd say the same thing my dad said. No way. He ain't going with them. Amen? And so we got to make sure that when we're walking, that we walk circumspectly, that we're aware of all these things going on. And if we do, we'll avoid those schemes of the devil if we'll just listen to what the Word of God is telling us. The Lord has given us all we need to be able to walk in His will for His glory. 1 John 2:20 and 2:21 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it." We know the truth. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things." We've been taught these things. If we would listen to the Holy Spirit of God and just quit messing around with the traps that the devil has set for us, we'd come out on top a whole lot more than what we normally do. The walk of wisdom is to be a diligent walk. Not only that, but if we're going to walk wisely, then it has to be a discerning walk as well. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. And the context here is still walking in wisdom. And he says in verse 16, he says, "Redeeming the time." because the days are evil. In other words, we are to buy up our time. We're to deliver our time from loss. We are to, you know, if you think about it, we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are bought. We are bought with a price. We were delivered from loss. And just as we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are to redeem that precious little time that we have. And I mean a very little time that we have. I remember today we were working on the float, and it was me and Brother Reuben and Brother Ryan Hsu. And so I took Brother Ryan Hsu home, and we were talking about our kids. And he said, well, he goes, so your oldest son is getting married on December 16th. I said, yes, he is. And he goes, boy, does it make you feel old that he's getting married? I said, well, it does. And I looked over at Ryan. I said, you know, how old is your child? And he said, he told me the age. I said, you know, tomorrow he'll be 22. It's the truth. Because they grow up so fast. Time is short, isn't it, folks? I mean, it just seems like yesterday my oldest son was 5. And now he's going to be married December 16th. And so we have very, very little time on this earth. We have very little time to do what the Lord wants us to do. And we need to redeem that time as best we can, because with each passing day, it's getting more and more evil. You live in a country where you can still share your faith publicly, but you better hurry up and take advantage of it, because we're not guaranteed how much longer we're going to have it. You better hurry up and take advantage of the opportunity to come to church publicly, because the days are getting more and more evil. One of these days, you may not have the opportunity to meet publicly in the church. You ever think about that? You ever think about what we'd do if they passed a law tomorrow that says you can't publicly meet in a church? You know, what would you do? We need to, that's right, go to a house, you know. But, you know, we need to take advantage of the time that we can come to church. And I'll tell you something, nothing ever taught me that more than going to the nursing home and talking to people who can't come to church. And they tell you, boy, I sure wished I could come right now. See, they want to come, but they can't come anymore. A lot of them aren't able to come anymore. And that's the reason we need to redeem the time, folks. We need to take advantage of the time we have. And so this challenges us to make good use of every opportunity that we have to serve the Lord. And that's what we need to do. If you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, you need to do it now, because time's running out. There's going to come a time that you're not going to be able to do for the Lord what you're able to do right now. And so we are to redeem the time. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1:17. He said, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, the time that you have, you're to pass that time in fear. In other words, time's running out. You need to hurry up and get it done. The Lord has determined the boundaries on everybody who has ever lived or ever will live. And I think I've showed you this before, but your Bible makes it very clear that everybody was born with a day and an hour that you will not be able to pass by that day or hour. In other words, the second you were born, the Lord had already predetermined the time of your death. Now, that's a time that you cannot pass, but you can do things in your life that could make that shorter. In other words, if you do something stupid, you can make it shorter. If you take certain drugs or smoke or things like that, you can make it shorter. But turn over to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. And I want to show you what Job has to say about how short life is and how we need to redeem the time. Now, Job 14 is a great chapter just to kind of remind us all that we are just a vapor, that we are, we're here today, gone tomorrow. And I know that gets pretty depressing sometimes to think about that, but time is moving, and every day that you waste, you're never going to get that day back. Every moment that you waste, you're never going to get that moment back, and time continues to move whether we want it to or not. And we're all heading toward an end, every one of us. Now, in Job chapter 14, look if you would at verse 5. It says this, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. There is an hour, there is a moment in your life that you will not live past that moment, and it doesn't matter what you do or what the doctors say or anything else, There is a time that the Lord has placed in every one of our lives that says you will not live past this moment. Now here's the kicker. We don't know when that time is. Amen? We don't know it, but God knows it. All right, drop down to verse 14. It says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. So in other words, again, we all have an appointed time. It is appointed unto man once to die. And that appointment, we don't know when that time is. Okay, we've been given a short window of time to live in this world. And again, at best, our lives are just a vapor. Now, look back, if you would, in Job chapter 14, at verse 1. It says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. We need to make the most of every opportunity that we have to serve the Lord. We need to take time to pray. Use that time, use our time wisely. We take time to worship the Lord. Take time to share the gospel with others. Take time to be holy. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. We are to take time to read our Bible. We are to take time to honor the Lord and worship the Lord. And those are the important things that we need to do, folks. That's how you redeem the time. That's how you make your time count in this world, is what you do for the Lord. Everything else that we do, I'm not saying if we work a job that we're wasting time, as long as you're doing it to the glory of God. When we raise our children, we are to raise them, to the glory of God and raise them according to the Bible. I tell you this, if you don't raise your children according to the Word of God, you're going to regret it one of these days, because once they grow up, you don't get to do it over. Amen? You don't get any do-overs. And so once they grow up and are on their own, that time is gone. You have now to do that. You have now to have an impact on your children and grandchildren. And so Paul tells us that we should redeem the time we've been given, because the days are evil. God has placed us here to be light in a world trapped in darkness, and we are his ambassadors, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20. He's been given us a window of time to serve him, to walk for him and bring glory to his name. So as we walk through this world, we are to recognize the evil around us, as well as the opportunities the Lord has given us to serve him. We are to redeem those opportunities in order to make our lives for the glory of God. One of these days we're going to leave this world, and when we die, what will you be able to say that you did with your time? What will you be able to say you did for the Lord in the time that you were given? I don't want to be one of those people that in my last few moments on this earth regretting not doing more for the Lord. I don't want to be one of those people, but I've seen many of them. People that said, I wished I'd have done more for the Lord. I don't want to be one of those people, and I hope that none of us are that tonight. A wise walk is to be a diligent walk. A wise walk is to be a discerning walk. And then finally, a wise walk is also to be a definitive walk. Look, if you would, in Ephesians 5, verse 17. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, to be unwise is to be ignorant of certain things, not using the knowledge that you have the right way. It refers to a person who thinks himself wise, but really he doesn't know anything at all. Paul is basically saying here that we're not supposed to run through this world being unwise. If we're not careful, an unwise person will fall into a trap. A person who is not aware will fall into things. Listen, I've had mice in my house the same as you had, and one of the things that we use is peanut butter. How many of you use peanut butter on your traps? It works better than cheese, just telling you. But anyway, we put peanut butter on there. And what we'll do is we'll slip that trap in there. And after we catch the first mouse and then the second mouse, after a while, they start to get wised up to it. And so we either have to change the bait, or we had to put it in a different place. But they start to get wised up to it. Now, the first ones that walk in there, they're totally oblivious to it. They're not very wise at all about the peanut butter, amen? So they just walk right into the thing, and they're snared. But you would think that Christians think about this. A person who just got saved would kind of be like that first mouse going into the trap. They have the knowledge, but they haven't been reading their Bible and they've just got saved, and so they don't have the knowledge and the wisdom that a person who's been saved for a while has. Amen? So the person who's just been saved, a baby Christian, he's going to walk into those traps pretty easy. That's the reason the rest of us are to help counsel that Christian. We're to encourage that Christian. That's the reason the Bible says that the older women are to teach the younger women. Why? Because they should be more mature. They should help them out in life. They should help them out, show them the Word of God and show them how to live life to where they don't fall in these traps. It's the same way with the men. We are to help each other. We're to edify each other, to help each other grow, encourage them to read their Bible so that they can grow, so they won't be the first mouse. But what happens is a lot of times they fall into it, but there's been Christians who've been saved for a long time who haven't grown in the Lord, and rather than being more wise to where they could avoid those certain traps, they're walking into them too, just like the first mouse. It shouldn't be like that. We have the Word of God. We should be reading. Listen, you hear preachers all the time telling you to read the Word of God. There's a reason for that. I don't want to see anybody fall in the devil's trap. I don't want to fall in the devil's trap myself. And the easiest way, the only way that we can avoid those traps is knowing where they're set. Amen? Listen, if the mouse knows that the trap's in there with peanut butter and he's already seen three other mice step into it and get the trap go off, you would think it would say, huh, there's a trap right there. I don't think I'm going to walk into that trap. And so, why? Because I've already seen other people go through it. Why do you think you have the Old Testament there? Now, think about this. You have the New Testament that says, now you're to live like this, and you're not to do this, and you're not to do that, and you're to walk wisely, and you're to walk in love, and you walk in humility, and this is the way you're to walk. And then you read back here in the Old Testament, and it gives you all these examples of people who did not walk like that. And what happened to them? You know what that is? That's saying, there's the mousetrap, and there's David. He walked right into it. Maybe, and why did he walk into it? Well, because he didn't walk wisely. He didn't walk in humility. He didn't walk according to the will of God. And so what did he do? Well, he fell into a trap. I don't want to be in that trap, so I think I'll avoid it. You see, that's how we are to be. That's how you walk wisely. It's bad. I mean, I'll give you an example. Me being the youngest, which we all know that young kids are just a bomb, aren't they? The youngest. Amen. But anyway, I had one older brother. And I know that everybody knows that the young person gets away with murder. The younger sibling always gets away with everything. I understand that. But the greatest advantage of being the youngest is you get to see your oldest make all the mistakes and you know what not to do and what to do. Amen? So whenever I'd see my older brother do something and all of a sudden he'd get in trouble, then Bob's thinking, saying, okay, I want, note to self, don't do this. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble. And so I was seeing him mess up. And because I saw him mess up, that I knew not to do that thing. Now, we can learn that way. I mean, we could see other Christians trip up and say, you know what, I see what they do, I'm not going to do that. But that's not the way that we are to learn according to the Bible. All Christians should be doing what that Bible tells us to do. All Christians should heed the warnings like Paul's given us here. He says, walk wisely, walk circumspectly, in other words, beware of the evil around you. Walk wise according to the will of God. That's how we are to walk. And if we would just say, okay, I'm just going to walk that way, do you know how many traps that you would avoid just walking that way? I mean, think about that. If you would just walk the way that Paul told us to walk and walk wisely, there are a lot of traps that we would never fall into. Now, I'm going to throw something out there. Every one of us has been caught in the devil's trap at least once. Amen. We've all messed up. We've all got caught in this trap. Do you realize that if we walked exactly the way the Lord told us to walk, we wouldn't be caught in that trap? The trap that you and I got caught in before, you would have never been caught in that trap if you had walked the way the Lord told you to walk. The Lord is never going to tell you to walk directly into a trap. Would you agree with that? He's never going to do that. And when he says, walk this way, That Bible is said, that Bible is supposed to be a light unto our feet, a light unto our path, right? So think about this. Now, if we're walking and it's dark and there's traps around, you're gonna step on those traps. But if there's a light there, you can avoid those traps if you'll walk the way the Lord told you to walk. Problem is we get caught in those traps because probably, in fact, for sure, either we did not read our Bible and we didn't know where the traps were, or we read our Bible and knew where the traps were and thought we knew better than God. It's one of the two. And every time that you decided not to walk the way the Lord told you to walk, you know what happened? You fell into the trap. Every one of us. It happened to every one of us. And from this point forward, every time that you fall into a trap, every time that you trip up, every time that you stumble, it's because somewhere down the line you didn't walk how the Lord told you to walk. If you don't believe it, read back there in the Old Testament. You find every single time that you saw a person mess up is because somewheres they decided that they knew better than God and they did something that God told them not to do. Back to David. You know what he did? He let his eyes see things. He let evil be set before his eyes. And it got him that quick. By the way, you'll notice that a lot of people in the Old Testament is because of what they saw that messed them up. Think about this. Adam and Eve. Eve saw that the fruit was good. Amen? She saw it. It messed her up. Remember the fellow who stole the Babylonian garment and the silver there when they came into Jericho? He said, I saw them. He saw them. He looked first. And what happened? Well, next thing you know, his whole family gets stoned and burned. Why? Because he took it. In other words, he shouldn't have looked at it. And so you see that all the way through. If they had walked wisely, redeeming the time, serving the Lord when they were supposed to be serving the Lord, I'll tell you this, if you just stay busy serving the Lord, it'd keep you out of a lot of trouble. Amen? And so that's what we need to do. We need to walk wisely. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk serving the Lord and redeeming the time. And he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes we even get so unwise that we fill our day up with meaningless stuff. I got this to do, and I got that to do, and I got to run over here, and I got to do it. And today is probably worse than any other time in history. We have so much to do. We're so busy. Who do you think's behind all of that? Let me ask you something. Do you think that might be a trap? When Paul says this, if you're going to walk wisely, then you're going to walk redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And what do? Some of us get to the point where we're so busy doing so many things that we don't even have time to serve God anymore. That would be a trap. But if we had listened to Paul when he said, redeeming the time for the time is evil, then we would make time to read our Bible and we would make time to serve the Lord. Sometimes, folks, we just have to say no. You know, we get so busy with so many things going on and so many people, you know, wanting you to do this and wanting you to do that. Sometimes you just got to say no. Instead of running through life being unwise, we're counseled to be understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And you say, well, what is the will of the Lord? Well, the Word of God reveals the will of the Lord, but we had to slow down long enough to read the Word of God. We had to slow down enough to at least read it. You know, take moments out of our lives, and if we let the time slip through our fingers, we're not going to mount much before the judgment seat of Christ. And so the lack of biblical knowledge is because a lot of people just aren't, they're not slowing down enough to read the Bible to figure out what the will of the Lord is. God has given us His Word. It's without error. It's infallible. It's inspired. It's eternal. It's food for the soul. And when we read the Bible, we're exposed to the very mind of God Himself. And we need to read it a lot. We need to read it often. We need to be people of the book is what we need to do. Knowing His author intimately and understanding the message clearly. There's no excuse for any believer who owns a Bible who can read being ignorant of the Word of God. There's no excuse for us as Bible believers who has the Word of God right here to not know that there are traps out there. There's no excuse for any of us not to know how to walk as Christians. because it's right there. It tells us exactly how to do it, but we've got to follow the Lord. And if we'll read the Bible, then we'll have that peace knowing that we're walking the right direction. God wants, listen, when God saved you as a child of God, God wants you to be able to walk in this world with the least amount of trouble, the least amount of trouble that you can. Now, the Lord knows there's going to be trouble, and he knows that the Bible tells you his days are full of trouble, says right there in Job. But does it make sense that if we walk the way the Lord tells us to walk, we're going to avoid a lot of trouble in this world that we could, as long as we'll do what he tells us to do, we're going to avoid a lot of trouble in this world. That's what he wants us to do. He wouldn't have put it in his book to walk a certain way if he didn't care. He does care. The same way you care for your children and your grandchildren, you don't want to see them do something that's going to hurt them. In other words, what parent in the world, even an unsaved parent, if their child was going to walk over to this outlet right there with a paper clip and was heading toward that thing to stick it in her, wouldn't you say, stop! You're going to get hurt if you do that. All of us would do that. I would do it for your kids. I wouldn't want your kids to do that. Why? Because we care, right? That's God cares for us too. That's the reason he tells us in here. Walk this certain way so you won't fall into the trap. I don't want to see you get hurt. I don't want to see you to stumble. I don't want to see you fall. I don't want to see you get out of the will of God. I don't want to see you mess up in life. That's what he says. So he says, walk this way. He says, walk wisely. Walk circumspectly. Redeeming the time. That's how we're to walk, folks. And so tonight I want you to just think about that. To think about your walk with the Lord and how it's supposed to be. And consider just how important it is to actually read your Bible and do what it tells you to do. Again, it's not because God is trying to be the meanie up in heaven. It's because he actually cares about you and he wants you to walk a certain way and live a certain way because he doesn't want to see you get hurt. And he also, no, I'll tell you something else too. The very fact that Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil tells me that the Lord wants us to fare well at the judgment seat of Christ. He wants us to be rewarded. He's not just saying, okay, here's rewards now. Figure it out how you're going to make them. Figure it out how to do well at the judgment seat of Christ. No, he's telling you how to do well at the judgment seat of Christ. None of us will have an excuse. He's even told you how to live right to receive rewards. He's even done that. You serve a gracious God. Amen? And so I want you to think about that tonight.